timekeeping. Sorry, John, you're sitting there. I did say we'd reconvene at 10:30 and I've strolled in 5 minutes late. My apologies. But we were deep in discussion in the foyer and that's important. John, would you like to come to the table? Thank you. And we're now on submission 1032. And for councillors, that's page 111. And well, we just might. Good. We'll get them. John, just relax.
I'm fine. Hello. How are you, John?
Oh, it's nice if he is heard. You don't have to have a quorum for submissions, but it's nice to be heard when you've bothered to write a submission, so we'll ask councillors to come.
Yeah. What do you bring here? Are you listening to the football or something while you're, you put on the hit parade?
There's simultaneous translation.
Is it?
Headphones, yes.
Far out.
Isn't that amazing? We're
it's
so
different
modern.
Different than the old days.
Craig's translated.
Golly me, the technology around it.
Thank you, everybody. So John is sitting in the chair, and we are looking at page 111, submission number 1032. All yours, John.
Thank you. Excuse me if I do read, because I forget where I'm going. All right? Okay. Firstly, I'd thank Council for allowing me the time to speak on this submission of mine. And I also thank Council for demonstrating good leadership by seeking to maintain strong and effective partnerships with its community and in particular with the community of Māori. My submission comes from my deep belief in equality. My submission is a plea for equality for my community and in particular for the community of Māori. There is a renaissance taking place in Māoridom, not least in the matter of economics. Council would be foolish not to hitch its horse to this renaissance. But more importantly, the Local Government Act of 2002 has introduced new responsibilities and opportunities for engagement and cooperation between Council and Māori. Council has the obligations in law under the Local Government Act, which I will refer to as the LGA, and the Resource Management Act of 1991, but there is a difference. In those two, the Resource Management Act provides for participation of iwi, hapu and tangata whenua as kaitiaki. It is specific. In striking and, I believe, deliberate contrast, the Local Government Act refers to Māori. Māori are not defined in the LGA, nor does the LGA direct council to any particular Māori groups. The LGA does not refer to generally recognised and known collectives, such as iwi, hapu, wunanga, or urban authorities. This difference means that participation in decision-making will need to involve a range of groups and individuals beyond those affiliated to local iwi and hapu. Because the LGA uses the broad descriptive term Māori, the legislation encompasses all of these groups and individuals. The provisions of the LGA charge local authorities with a clear responsibility to be informed about how their decision-making can impact on Māori community and well-being. These provisions of the LGA apply to all Māori in our city, district or region. These provisions of the LGA acknowledge that Māori other than mana whenua may be resident in Ārohe. Your own statement of proposal claims council is required by law to facilitate Māori participation in council decision-making processes and to improve the delivery of council's legal and statutory obligations to Māori. To date, you have not consulted with Māori. That's my belief. For the purposes of the Local Government Act, Te Arawa do not represent the Māori community of Rotorua. As a community, Te Arawa account for just 26% of the Māori population of Rotorua. 64% of Māori living within this rohe are from an iwi outside of the Te Arawa waka. This 64% is both entitled to your consultation and demands your consultation. Sorry, but I feel you have ignored this 64%. So far, you have only listened to 26% of the Māori population that you are required to listen to by the LGA. Councillors, you are charged by the LGA to consult with the Māori community. Consulting with Te Arawa alone can never achieve this. My question to you is, if you do adopt the Te Arawa partnership model and grant the considerable powers that it contains, how will you make contact with and give equality to Māori in your community who are not of Te Arawa? The Te Arawa partnership model offers that in the future an additional seat may be made available for Māori from other iwi resident in Rotorua. I'm sorry, but I find this provision insufficient and possibly patronising. I question that you consider this provision as satisfying the needs of the LGA. It disturbs me that after some 12 months of discussion, this possibility of a seat on the Te Arawa board is the only recognition that so far you have made towards your non-Te Arawa Māori residents. Okay, I can carry on, thank you. So a little bit about democracy. For me, democracy means how I can, as an individual, use the electoral processes to help decide which citizens I will trust with the basic tasks of government. My belief is that all citizens will be able to take part in this process so that our representatives will have been elected by universal, free, equal, direct suffrage. Universal, free and equal. I also understand that democracy includes the idea that the politicians elected by the community will be representative of the whole community and not of particular groups and strata. I believe passionately in one man, one vote. One man, one vote is perhaps our most treasured taonga. It comes right from the heart and spirit of our ancestors who struggled so hard to make it and keep it so. Te Arawa are but a percentage of the population of Rotorua and of the Māori community of Rotorua. The Te Arawa partnership model grants to this percentage two additional votes on the two most important committees that you, our council, have. Two votes over which I will never have universal, free and equal suffrage. This is an extraordinary power that you are granting to Te Arawa. You are giving Te Arawa additional votes that could tip the decisions of a committee that has delegated responsibilities and so could be making binding decisions on council. I ask council this, how can you justify granting the extraordinary power that these voting positions bestow to a strata in our society that represents just 26% of our Māori population? You are ignoring the wider community of Māori and Rotorua. You are robbing the wider community of Māori and Rotorua of their taonga, of one man, one vote. And I say with respect, you are trampling on the mana of the wider community of Māori and Rotorua. The Treaty of Waitangi talks of partnership. A partnership is a thing that benefits all partners. This model does not benefit all partners. This model has only caused and only will continue to cause division within your community. You may form an alliance with Te Arawa, but you must form a partnership with Māori. You must preserve democracy, and you must consult equally with your entire community. I have great respect for this council. I have confidence that you will find a better way to include and consult with your Māori community than the adoption of the Te Arawa partnership model as it stands today. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And we'll open for questions. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, John, for your submission and giving up your time today. You've obviously done an awful lot of research on this subject. Did you consider an all-encompassing Māori advisory group be appointed?
Yes. I think it is imperative for two reasons. Māori is such a prominent part of our community, and we're based on it. So putting to that in front that it's there and it exists and it should be acknowledged, it's a requirement of the Act that we do pay attention to Māori. I just think it is, so far, the Council has not consulted with Māori because we haven't consulted with non-Te Arawa. The position of voting, I think, is another... that's where my democracy thing comes in. I think the division in the town, and excuse me, I think there is division, has been caused by one four-letter word, and that is spelled V-O-T-E. How council gets around that, I simply do not see that consultation requires a vote. I do not see that an effective consultation requires a vote. I think people can consult often and easily without necessarily having a vote. Okay?
Councillor Stewart.
Thank you very much, Mr. Parks, for your submission. I long remember you and I pulling our respective father's trunglers around Springfield Golf Club many, many years ago. I want to quote from your submission because I think it needs some clarification. You say options 2, 3, and 4 do pass the test of democracy. None of these options contain the power to make decisions that could be binding on council, so they do not interfere with the free and the universal principles of democracy. I ask if you could elaborate on that first. And the second question is, do you see Māori wards as best practice to include Te Arawa and non-Te Arawa members of society to be involved in the democratic process?
To the first part, I believe that the other three offers there did not contain just that word vote. I feel it is that word vote which really does, it gets to the heart of democracy. I accept that the vote is only between members of Te Arawa doing a legitimate job of voting for the people who will be on their board and representing them. Perhaps it stretches on from that to where what is the effect of that vote? And if the effect of that vote is to give binding powers on council, which I think some of the delegations to your committees do have, then it goes, I'm not sure of that part. I mean, this is where I get lost in the logistics of it. The fear that some of the decisions those committees make may be, through delegated powers, be considered binding. That is the part. I'm sorry, Charles, could I have the second part of your...
The wards is best practice to overcome the issue that you raise quite succinctly in your submission of engaging Te Arawa and non-Te Arawa Māori by having separate Māori wards.
So Māori wards, I don't believe in the ward system. I believe in people being able to vote for the best people they like for their councils. Te Arawa is such a strong community. Te Arawa have so much ability. I don't think they need wards to do their interest. I think it's time that... Well, no, sorry, I put that wrong. Te Arawa have the ability to stand up and make their presence felt in this community without the necessity of a ward or a Māori ward to put people on the council.
Councillor Rowe-Kawate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tēnā koe, John.
Thank you.
You are aware that this is Te Aroa's plan?
Yes.
To the council?
Yes.
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 There is a distinction because you're talking about the involvement of other iwi or other Māori within Rotorua, but yes. This is actually what Te Aroa has prepared yes. and put to council.
Yes, I accept that. My problem is that to this date I've heard of no other consultation between Māori and other members, other sections of the Māori community. It hasn't taken place. I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep my brain going. It is certainly Te Aroa's proposal. Perhaps I could say that the extraordinary powers which are granted to Te Aroa in the proposal cause me some concern. If you adopt it and you have 4 extra votes on your committees, and then you decide that you must include the other 60-odd percent of Māoridom who are not in Te Aroa and give them equality, does that mean that you're going to have even more people sitting on your communities? How do you address the problem of equality between those two things? Yes, yes.
Councillor Weeper.
Good morning, John, and thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
My question is just around your very strong focus, which was, to my mind, on other people, which are called Māta Waka, not having the ability to be heard. Have you talked to many of those people about that? Because I have to say, people that I have spoken to that are not Te Aroa, that live here, for what I have understood from them, they instinctively feel that this is Te Aroa tangata whenua. And so therefore, if they want to have a say in the affairs of where they are tangata whenua, which is a Māori word view, to my understanding, my limited knowledge of and understanding, of where they are guardians of the area in terms of their environment and people. So I haven't heard personally, and as I walk around the place, of people that object to that, and they know that they could make submissions.
That's your question, today, really.
So I just want to know, have you talked to other... What Māori have you talked to that have believed this is wrong, that aren't Te Aroa?
Yeah, I haven't gone to any meetings, waved banners or anything like that at all. I've lived in the community for a long, long time, and I have speak just informally with a lot of Māori people, just to illustrate that I do believe that problem does exist out there, and I think it was in the Daily Post either yesterday or the day before. There was a gentleman writing on exactly that question, that he is not Te Aroa, he is Māori, and he feels that he is being ignored. So I think there is something out there, yeah. I think the Resource Management Act is far more specific in when it talks about tangata whenua, hapu, those sort of issues.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, sorry, yeah,
no,
I'm going on.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's thank you. Very thoughtful submission, but time is up. Sorry, those yes. councillors. We've got a lot to get through,
yes.
so thank you, John.
Thank you very much. Thank you, councillors.
Yeah. Bob Martin, for councillors, submission 1229, page 140.
Kia ora and good morning, everybody. My submission is based on not so much the voting rights, but I'm going to question that anyway. My first question to council, can someone please show me in here where it actually says that someone else gets a vote in respect of not being a elected councillor? My second issue is, do you realise if you're Te Aroa and you're on the general election roll, like I am, I'm actually going to, and this goes through, I'll actually get 14 votes now, 12 to put my councillors in, 1 for my mayor and 2 for Te Aroa. So I think that's grossly unfair to the people that are not Te Aroa. So you need to look at a compromise or a fixing or deleting of that completely. I pick it up from what happened in the regional council. The regional council went to wards And if you weren't part of the Maori electoral roll, you could not vote for the Maori wards. You could not vote in the Maori wards, sorry. You had to go on the general. I'm totally opposed to the performance committees having non-council members on it, elected council members on it for the CEO. I think that can lead to outside of the council seeing our CEO, who is the only person who's elected as an employee by this council. No one else is. The CEO does the other employment. And I believe that extra pressure could be put on the CEO from outside of council in the performance review. My main concern is the developer or the development of the REMA. I'm totally against Maori being involved as a commissioner unless they are elected members of this council. And I don't see any problem with that, and that's where they should come from. But to have a hapu or a iwi on the RMA telling me, if I put a request into this council for a resource consent, telling me what to do when they're in conflict of doing exactly the same thing themselves. Pukero Orawhata, they are Maori, Ngāti Whakaawe. They go for resource consents. Pikiao, go for resource consents. Ngāti Rangawiri, gone for resource consents. They cannot sit on that RMA commissioner panel. It's grossly unfair, and it's a conflict of interest for people like myself. And I'm Te Arawa. Madam Chairman, I realise that the time that you've allowed me, so if there's any questions, I'll be pleased to answer them if I can, please.
You have got more time, Bob. A little bell rings at 9 minutes, but we're happy to use the time for questioning. If you've been cut short, you can add...
I've got one other at the end, if I could, please.
You want to say that now?
All right, I'll say it now. Does this council know where the rohe or the boundaries of Te Arawa is? Have you actually gone and sat down and decided and know where the boundaries are for Te Arawa? Because I don't think you have. Because the reason why I'm going to say it right now, it ranges from Makatu to Tongariro. And that's where it is. And if you think that the local Te Arawa around here are going to hold the mana and hold the voting rights, you wait till it goes out beyond the Rotorua city area. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm seeing it right now within our own hapus. And I'm talking Ngāti Tahu, I'm talking Ngāti Whawa, who are having a hell of a row over now, and it's all over money, and it's coming down to voting rights. So think wise of what you're going to be doing, Rotorua District Council. I would only say this once. One thing that it did concern me, and I've spoke about it earlier on, it's a pity you did away with the wards. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. And we'll open for questions now. Councillor McVicar.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Madam Chairman, I ask them to speak loud. I am deaf and I'm having trouble with it.
Same here. Thank you.
And Bob, we don't answer your questions. It's for you to put your submission. So, Councillor McVicar.
Thank you, Bob, for your submission. You make reference in your written submission, my preference is with Te Arawa Standing Committee to continue. Given the fact that there are comments to the effect that it's past its use-by date, given the fact that people are recommending it, what's your overall consensus and why could one get it up and running again?
Through you, Madam Chairman. I supported the Te Arawa Standing Committee. I spent approximately 9 years on it. When I first got onto the Te Arawa Standing Committee, there was some very, very consultation, very good consultation and communication between Māori and the council. And it fell to bits when this council decided to do MOUs directly with the hapus. And consequently, it never came back onto the table. And I understand the frustration of this Te Arawa Standing Committee as it is in present, is because they were neglected, they were left out of the loop, and consequently they didn't know what was happening. And they became a laughing stock of their own people, because the hapu over here was doing one thing with council, and Te Aro over here did not know what was happening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Weeper.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you for coming in. Just my question is, we have been asked, as you know, by Te Arawa to have, they don't feel it's working, the standing committee now. So would you support having two members on the main committees if they didn't have voting rights? Much like we invite the Lakes Community Board to come, and often they can come and sit on, they even listen in our confidential now, and they don't have voting rights, but they have a chance to have their say, and you know very well how useful that can be at times. How would you feel about that?
Thank you, Janet. Yes, I do support Te Arawa being a member of the particular subcommittees without the vote at the moment. The reason being is that it's quite obvious of what's taken place with the history of Rotorua. I don't have to elaborate any further on that. But my main concern is, if you have a good look at the RMA, Māori is involved with the environment, big-time environment. And I believe, yes, they should be sitting around that table, and that's where they can also listen to the environment situation on the AEEs of a resource consent application. They can report on it immediately, and they can put a submission in, like anyone else, saying the applicant has got a problem with the environment.
That reply?
Allowing another councillor a question. So is there another councillor with a question? Times, Councillor Sturt. Oh, good gracious.
Thank you, Bob, for your submission, and I refer also to your written submission. My preference is for Te Arawa Standing Committee to continue and have direct consultation. You partly answered it, and not via sub-tribes. Since this council was elected, I've been going along and listening to the MOU meetings, and they are on a very sound footing now and seem to be more productive than they were in the past. You've been around this table for a long time, and did you observe the Te Arawa Committee's standing was diminished in the past? Because when you first got on, there were some really auspicious people on that committee.
Thank you, Charles. Yes, I did see the standard of the information being supplied to Te Arawa was basically became non-existent. And I'll say this to you right now, I believe in my last 3 years in this council, being standing on Te Arawa, I was like that guy over there, or this one over here, like a tickle-tickle on the wall with my tongue hanging out and not allowed to say anything. It was as plain as that.
Well, we have time for another question. Councillor Gould.
Chair, two questions, Bob. When you're in favour of the terror...
Just one, please, Mark, or else we're holding others up.
Terror Standing Committee, are you in favour of the committee electing the chairperson, or were you in favour of the chairperson being the mayor?
The chairperson should have been elected by the standing committee, not a nominated person coming out of council.
Thank you, and thank you, Bob, and councillors, for understanding. 10 minutes for each submitter. Thank you for coming. My apologies to councillors who have questions, and I'll try to spread it to those that haven't had the opportunity. Now we ask Judy O'Sullivan to the table, and her submission is 1037, page 113. Good morning.
Is that right? Good morning. And thank you for being given the opportunity of speaking to you today. Good morning to you all, to the mayor, the councillors, other speakers, and to other listeners. I have been a member of the Rotorua community for 63 years. I came here as a teenager with my parents, and the feelings that I want to talk today about the feelings that I have. I have written a submission, and I would prefer to actually speak to it. I feel very privileged and very proud to be part of this Rotorua community. To me, it's a wonderful place to live. It's a wonderful place to have been brought up. It's a wonderful place to have been for me to be able to bring up my family. It is quite unique and special. The uniqueness being this wonderful blend that we have of cultures, Māori and Pākehā. There's no, perhaps there's one person who I think has affected me tremendously, but that of course is John Stafford. But there are other members that in my younger days I had quite a lot to do with, Manu Bennett, Dear Guide Bubbles, Kuru Waka. They all affected me. And I feel that I am a person who actually has had quite a lot to do with Māori people. I respect them tremendously. And when I go to occasions, whether they be civic occasions, Māori occasions, school occasions, I often come away with this feeling, there's nowhere else but Rotorua that this could happen. And whatever we do, whatever decisions you people as a council come to, you must always consider that. I acknowledge that a Māori perspective is extremely important in government, whether it's a national level, regional level, or local level. I would strongly support the retention of Māori seats in our national government. I voted for the Māori Party in the last two elections because I admired the people and I admired the views they held, and I felt strongly that those views should be part of our government at the time. So I voted Māori, for the Māori Party, and I do not regret that. I was delighted when the Regional Council accepted the fact of having Māori wards under the recommendation of Peter Trapsky. And in our local government, yes, I think back now, in our last election, I voted for quite a number of Māori, not particularly because they were Māori, but because I felt that they were the very best people for the job to represent us as a total community. And I would say that I do support Steve in her commitment to, and this is one other thing I quote, strong and enduring relationship with Te Aroha. All those things aside, though, I would say no to the Aroha proposal to have Māori Te Aroha on our committees with voting rights. I guess there's a part of me that, okay, that word which I have become almost to abhor, rather, democratic, because it has been bandied around so much. But there is a part of me that looks back to that democratic thing that, yes, if you are going to make decisions in governance and you have vote in governance, you should be elected. Nevertheless, there have been other propositions put as well. One, of course, was that the Māori should sit on those committees, but none with voting rights. This one is okay. Yes, it's okay, but are they going to be a little frustrated? I'm not sure. I would like to talk, though, a little bit about the standing committees, the Te Aroha lack standing committees. I was really interested to hear Anaru Rangahuia speaking on Friday and Toby Curtis this morning saying that their time on those committees, they felt were effective and good. There's no doubt about it. We all agree. We all know that in the latter years, that has not been so. And yet, I don't think this is a case of, and I'm going to use a quotation, which I only thought of this morning, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, just because something isn't working, you've got to look at it and say, okay, if it's good, how can we make it work? I'm sure it needs updating, and I'm sure, but I'm equally sure that with the administration and chairmanship of the people that are sitting in front of me this morning, it could be made to work effectively and good for Rotorua. But the opinion, the option that I would like to see personally is that of having Maori wards. Maori wards have been proved to be effective, as I said before, in government. Well, the Maori role, if you or Maori wards, whichever you like to call it, have they proved to be at national and at regional level. They could be, we've had a lot of discussion this morning too, about Te Aroa, the Mana Whenua, and other iwi. If we had Maori wards, we could encompass those two groups. We might even have some encompassing the geographical differences in Rotorua, and I'm sure that would be quite good for Rotorua too, because that would mean that our farming community could perhaps be better represented around the council table. I know that Maori wards have, at least I think I'm right in saying that Maori wards have not put into action in any other local body before. But, you know, when the regional council took them on, I don't think there'd been any regional council there where there had been Maori wards, and they've been good. So why not Rotorua Lakes District Council go for Maori wards? I would really, really, really support that. I feel quite strongly about the above, but I want to tell you that I have not signed any petitions. I have been upset. I've been really quite angered by the, as I drive around Rotorua and I see these hoardings. This, to me, is dividing us. We should be having what we are doing today here, having consultation, not protest. And it's only that way that we're going to all work together and come to a right decision. If we're not careful, this protest could destroy these very things that I have spoken about at the beginning that are so special to Rotorua. And I want to commend our council for giving us this forum to express our views. They've provided us with excellent information material. We have had a lot of discussion within our family group, my husband and I. But all the information I got and I made my submission on, it all came from information that was received in your packages. And I just want to acknowledge the appropriate protocol and dignity with which these hearings here have been conducted. It's been an absolute pleasure to sit and to listen, and I even find it now to even sit in this chair and speak to you. But now it's after these hearings are all complete and you've listened to all these hundreds of submissions and you've read those thousands of them, you as a council have to come to a decision. This is not a referendum, so you don't have to add up the ones for or the ones against. But I hope you will all, in your listening and your reading, have considered deeply the varying views of your whole community. In doing that way, you will be able to, I know, make the right decision for us. I don't want you to take sides. I want you to work closely together for the very best outcome for Rotorua, so that we as the citizens can move forward together. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy, and immaculate timing. I'll allow one question, if there is one. There appears to be none. Oh, it's just no statement, just a question.
Just a question. Very briefly, you mentioned particularly the Resource Management Act.
Yes, I did.
I just wanted to ask if Māori were trained commissioners and they were on a hearing where they didn't have a bias or were perceived not to have a bias, would you support that?
I would support any person on that commission that had all the qualities, all the background, the qualifications to stand on that committee. If that committee turned out to be three Māori and they were the most appropriate people for that commission, then commissioners, yes, I would support them completely, but not just because they are Māori or Te Aroha.
That was 9, 1 minute. You can't
yes, thank you. Oh, Judy's gone. That's right. Cut the phone.
Time for one more question. Did you want to face one more question or you've run from the chair? Do. It could be the good one we haven't heard.
I did run from the question from the chair and I did give a great big sigh of relief, but okay, I'll take one more.
I'm coming back.
yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Judy, for your expressing your feelings to us this morning. But I do note that you've got that in one of your options that you've looked at here, that you agree to Māori members being appointed to the various committees, but they should not have voting rights. So from that, I get that you're quite happy for the council to have the expertise and cultural knowledge of Māori members, but you don't believe that they should have voting rights.
Sorry, I'm going to say that again slowly. I've gone off the boil.
Right. Will you agree? You say here that you would agree to Māori members being appointed to the various committees. So obviously they're being appointed because of expertise and particularly their cultural knowledge. Yes. And you're happy for council to use that, but that they should not have voting rights.
I would also say too, though, adding to that, yes, that is true. But what I didn't say, I don't think that anybody who is appointed to committees, and it is only because of these what's come out recently, that I realise that we do have people that are appointed to committees who have voting rights, and I don't think that should be so either. I think council should listen to those people, yes, and they can discuss and things, but I don't feel that they should have voting rights.
Okay. Thank you. You came back on the boil.
Oh, did I?
And thank you for coming back. That was rather unfair, actually. I do know when you leave the chair, you think that's it. Thank you for coming back. Now we ask John Fleming to the table, submission 1062, and for councillors, that's page 118. Thank you, John. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to sit up here terrified.
Oh, you should. We want to hear your view.
Right. My name is John Fleming, and I've been a resident of Rotorua for about 43 years. I love the place and have been very happy for it to be my home. But I do not like what is happening here now. I feel that the partnership model being considered by the Mayor and some members of her council will divide the inhabitants and create many problems. And it's all being pushed through too fast. Rotorua has a diverse population and all sections and ethnic groups deserve to be able to contributed to the growth and the future of our city, not just one, and the council should keep this in their mind. I wonder why other groups weren't invited to put forward a partnership agreement to be studied by council, and would they have been given a year to present it, as were Te Aroha? Why was it not announced to citizens that this was about to happen? Why was it not brought into the public eye until a meeting on December 18, 2014, when it was announced that council had adopted the proposal in principle? Why was opposition to it being adopted restricted to around 6 weeks? That's hardly time enough to go and borrow a book from the library. I have no argument with Te Aroha and agree that input into council decisions should be studied, considered and, if appropriate, adopted. But they are only one of many groups and it should be the same for all sections of our population, including, for example, grey power. Surely the knowledge, experience and ability of this group and others within our boundaries can be harnessed and used for the betterment of our city as a whole. Why should they or any other group be denied the opportunity to make commissions to our council or any other group? It is undemocratic that those representing Te Arawa be chosen exclusively, particularly with full voting rights, and are to be given a free ride onto council. For Te Arawa to be appointed and have the right to sit beside democratically elected persons of the people's choice and be able to represent the bulk of Rotorua and make free and unelected decisions on our behalf is doubly wrong. I certainly don't want unelected persons making decisions that will affect me or anyone else for that matter. At the same time, these unelected members would be guided and advised by a parallel Te Arawa group and be answerable to them. I can only presume none would have to make a sworn oath and that they would represent the people without prejudice to the best of their ability, but I could be wrong. I say no. If you want to be on council, stand and be elected democratically on your merits and not be given free rein. Accepting either options 2 or 3 would lead to disproportionate power, and that certainly is not a democratic move by council and certainly not fair to our residents. The alternative governance model suggested by the Pro-Democracy Society would reach our population as a whole and would enable all citizens or groups to make input into council decisions where they could be assessed on their merit and act upon or discarded. The other disturbing part of this business will be the yearly cost. Figures are not consistent. Some figures suggest $250,000 a year, while others are bordering on $1 million. Imagine what that will do to our rates, and it will be ongoing. Rotorua is a wonderful place. Let's work together for the benefit of all its citizens and not just a selected few. I would like to finish by saying that you all, as councillors of Rotorua District Council, have been elected democratically, as it should be. I would also like to remind you that democratically, you can also be removed from council. So good luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now we'll open for questions. Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming, for your submission. You know that council under the Local Government Act is required. It doesn't say you could or you should. It says a local authority must establish and maintain processes to provide opportunities for Maori to contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority. And obviously in your submission you don't agree with options 2 and 3, which is fine. So would you support separate Maori wards as a vehicle for us to meet our obligations under the Local Government Act?
Can I make a comment, please? In about 14 years and 1 month, I'll be 100. And 14 years and 1 month. I like time to sit and ponder questions that are given to me, and respectfully, I'm going to decline any answers.
Prefer not to have any questions.
Definitely.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's fine. Thank you for your submission. And now we ask AJ Menz. I don't have a name. So this is submission 1064 for councillors, page 119. Thank you, Mr. Menz. I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were a Mr. or a Mrs. till I saw you get to the chair. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I have been a ratepayer in Rotorua for the last 50-odd years, and I'm speaking against the Te Arawa proposal. Firstly, I take issue with the wording used in the statement of proposal. Page 4 says, the council is required by law to facilitate Maori participation in council decision making. The words...
Jens, could you just bring the mic down a little bit? You can actually wiggle this bit. Bring it up. Yeah, that might work better.
Firstly, I take issue with the wording used in the statement of proposal. Page 4 says the council is required by law to facilitate Maori participation in council decision-making. Compelled... required gives the impression of being compelled to take this course by law. The words I found in the Local Government Act were encouraged to facilitate Maori participation. Words with a different meaning, not an order. We can assume that this encouragement would be extended by councils who had no Maori elected members and would extend to any Maori, not just one group of Maori. We have, I believe, two or three Maoris already on council here. For the purposes of the Maori electoral roll, the 1974 definition of Maori is any descendant of a Maori. So there could be more than two or three Maori on council if they so choose. So why do we need more Maori representation? I believe that allowing voting rights on committees to non-elected people is completely wrong and undemocratic and should not be permitted under any circumstances. Also, the cost of this proposal is an unnecessary charge on ratepayers. I believe it is an attempt to foster separatism throughout our country. I am against separatism and the granting of special privileges to any groups by local or central government. Te Arawa have the ability to promote their interests during the three yearly council elections at their own costs without being a burden on ratepayers. I would like to thank those councillors who have opposed this proposal. Thank you.
Are you happy for questions?
Not really, no. Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I saw. For councillors, this is submission 207, page 50. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning. Madam Chair, I feel more comfortable if I'm on my feet.
Absolutely.
Kia ora. My name is Walter Peretika Ricker. I speak on behalf of my Ricker whānau, who were born and bred in Rotorua, and who number in the hundreds